When people become wealthy, that usually means buying a huge house that is removed far away from everybody else. And somehow, we have translated that into our picture of heaven. I think that's a mistake. Please bow with me. Mighty God, Lord and Savior, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we praise you, thank you. We ask for your guidance. Pray, Lord, that you'll be with me at this time, that I'll speak from your word to your glory. Lord, we anxiously await your son's return to be taken home with you. Thank you, Almighty God. Thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This morning we're going to be looking at John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. I think it's important to try to feel what the disciples felt when Jesus said, hey, where I'm going, you cannot come. I mean, they'd given up everything to follow him. At first they thought he was a rabbi, and then they suspected he might be the Messiah. And then all of a sudden he's saying, I'm going to leave. And how hard and difficult that must have been. So verse 1. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, and where I am, there you may be also. So do not let your hearts be troubled. And the word troubled means shaken, stirred up, confused. I mentioned last week that I heard on the radio this guy that was saying, he quoted this verse and he said, therefore, since this is what Jesus said, if your heart is troubled, you must not believe in God. Well, interestingly enough, this word is used of Jesus three times. When he's at Lazarus' tomb, his heart was troubled. When he was foretelling the fact that he was going to die, his heart was troubled. When he was foretelling that he was going to be betrayed by one of his own, his heart was troubled. So, if that gentleman on the radio is correct, then we're going to have to assume that Jesus didn't believe in God. I don't think we want to go there. His point is not that you're going to go through life and never be troubled if you believe in God. This is a message of comfort. So when we tell people, it'll be okay. And we say that, don't we? When things are bad and we say it'll be okay, we're not saying, and if you don't think so, you're not a very good Christian. Are we? We're comforting. We're trying to give them a word of comfort. That's what Jesus is doing. Don't let your heart be troubled. Keep believing in God. How are we going to get through the trouble, I think, is what he's talking about. How are we going to get through this moment that's coming very quickly for the disciples? How are they going to get through this world, this moment where their whole world is turned upside down? And nothing makes sense anymore. How are you going to get through it? Believe God.
Amen.
See, I have a hard time when somebody tells somebody who is losing their child, do not be troubled. Believe in God, and if you are troubled, you must not believe in God. Our advice is, keep believing in God. And believe also in me. I think Jesus said this because, again, in a very short amount of time, that's going to be very hard for these men.
That's right.
Because they believed that the Messiah was going to come and be the conquering hero. They believed and they were ready to lay down their life for their vision of the Christ.
That's right.
And instead, he went to the cross. And their whole world is turned upside down. And Jesus says, it's not going to make sense to you right now, but keep believing in me. And then he tells them why he's going to have to be gone for a while. In my Father's house, there are many rooms, many dwelling places. And unfortunately, in the King James and in the New King James, and maybe some other translations I don't know, it says mansions. And we kind of got this idea that heaven's going to be mansions, and we've got other places. We'll go to Revelation, and we'll say it's these mansions, and it's the streets of gold, and it's opulence, and it's wealth. And that's not the picture Jesus paints here. I think that Ray Vanderlaan got this one right. I think as he's trying to illustrate what it's like, he's saying, okay, picture this home that's got this courtyard, and somebody's going to go get his bride to bring her home. But before he does that, he's got to build an add-on that's connected to the same courtyard.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is saying, I've got to go and prepare a place for you in my Father's house. It's not about wealth, it's about connectedness.
Right.
They're going to be in the same house with the same courtyard, sharing the same meals, doing the same work together. And that sounds so much better to me than a mansion over the hilltop. It's probably just me, but that song really bothers me. I'm satisfied with a little gold and a little silver. Was that written in a first world country or what? I have a lot of brothers that don't have a little gold or a little silver. They might have a little sister, that. They probably want a little silver, but I don't know. But when I get to heaven, I want a mansion. I don't want a mansion. I want to live in the same house with my brothers and sisters in Christ, with my God the Father.
Amen.
I want to have a connectiveness. I want to be enjoying a meal together and working together and playing together. That's what Jesus is describing. He's saying, I've got to prepare a place. And if I'm telling you this, you can know I'm going to come and I'm going to take you back. I'm going to receive you. And the word means to carry along beside. It's the same word that the angel used when he tells Joseph in Matthew 1, receive her, Mary. Same word. So I think Jesus is trying to paint a picture. He's saying, look, I am the bridegroom. I have to go and I have to get this ready for you, but I will come and I will take you back and we will all be in the house of God.
Amen.
And we don't get this because in our society, when our kids turn 18, we want them out of the house. That was not Jesus' society. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, necessarily. But because of that, we kind of don't get the picture here. When they became adults, they didn't leave the house. And when they got married, they didn't leave the house. They just built on an addition to the house. That's the picture. It's about connectedness. I love the Audio Adrenaline song, Big, Big House. With lots and lots of room. With a big, big table with lots and lots of food. And a big, big yard where we can play football. I don't know if we'll play football with Jesus in heaven. If we do, it'll probably be more likely soccer. I don't know. I don't know. All I do know is that the picture is one of connectedness, not a mansion that's separated from everybody else so we don't have to mix with the rabble. That's not my heaven. That's not Jesus's heaven. And what's interesting is some people look at this passage. I have a friend, his name was Ron, and he preached in Yankton for years and years. And he said, this is not about heaven, this is about the church. I don't agree with him, but I understand what he's saying. Isn't it interesting that we want heaven to be in the same house of God and we can barely stand each other here? Does that make sense? I mean, I've heard people say when you get to heaven, you might be surprised who's there with you.
they'll probably be equally surprised.
Because we spend a lot of our time losing connectedness. Have you noticed that our society is losing connectedness?
We do our social events on social media, which is not social at all.
I mean, I put posts. I don't have a problem with Facebook, by the way. I think it could be a good godly tool. But I post events, and I'll look the next couple hours to see if somebody liked it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it's almost like, do they like me?
But don't come over to my house. And our children,
they would just as soon you text them instead of call them.
And don't tell me that's easier. Calling them, you just have to pick up your phone, find them in an address book, and push a button. Texting takes this. It's not easier. Somewhere along the way, we have lost connectedness. I mean, can you remember when you were growing up, some of those who are a little bit closer to my age, and people would sit on the front porch and people would walk by and stop and just sit with them for a while and visit?
No.
Does that happen anymore?
No.
And I'm not saying that we need to do that. I'm saying that's what church ought to be. We ought to be a gathering together, an assembly of people who love God, who are learning to speak the language of God together, so that when we go to heaven, we're not going to be surprised. We're going to be together with the people we enjoyed being together with on this earth. Amen?
Amen.
That's heaven.
It's Thanksgiving.
We, every year, we get together with five different families that went to college, oh, so many years ago, together. And we share meals, and we share, this past Thanksgiving was way different. It was a little odd, because we weren't able to take part in the togetherness, the connectedness as much. But we share meals, and we play games, and we laugh, and we cry, and we're connected. And last year, when we were able to go do a mission trip with our children in Romania, and the group that they're working with, Youth with a Mission, twice, I think it is, through the week, they have a shared meal. And they have a couple of times where they have a shared worship experience. And it was one of those moments where you're going, they get it.
It's not wrong to have a nice home. That's not my point. But some people are so focused on the nice home that they miss the connectedness in church. And sometimes they'll look at the church and they'll say, it's the church's fault.
And maybe it is. But what are you doing about it?
Yeah.
Are you a part of the problem or are you part of the solution?
Great.
See, you and I are on the path together to spend all eternity in the same home with our Father, sharing meals, sharing life together.
Yeah.
I think we ought to get used to one another.
There needs to be a connectedness.
That's the image of heaven that Jesus gives us. Verse 4. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him.
Wow.
Jesus, I believe Jesus knows the heart of men. So when he says, you know the way,
that's the truth. They just don't know they know the way. you know the way. And I love Thomas's response. I mean, Thomas gets a little bit of a bad rap, and we call him Doubting Thomas. You know, forever, the rest of his life, when we get to heaven, we'll probably say, oh, so you're Doubting Thomas. From one moment, I mean, are we going to call Peter, oh, you're denying Peter?
Yeah.
Peter's, I think Thomas is voicing the same question that all of them have on their hearts. We don't even know where you're going. And literally what he says is, how are we able to know the way? If we don't know the destination, do you have to know the destination to know the way? Well, it can help. But sometimes people are so focused on the destination that they don't enjoy the journey. See, I think Jesus, I mean, notice what he says. He says, I am the path. I am the journey. I am the road. I think the next two things he says are defining why he is the way. He is the way because he is the truth. He is the message of God wrapped in the flesh. He is the message of God, the truth.
That's right.
He is the life because in him we have a life that cannot be found in the world.
Amen.
So there's two basic words that are used in the Greek for life in the Bible, I mean. The first is bios, which is from which we get biology, the study of life, and it refers more to this idea of physical life, any life. You could apply it to plants. The other one is zoe, from which we get zoology. I don't know the difference. But in the Bible, the difference is always when they're talking about spiritual life, they use the word zoe. Jesus is spiritual life. The only life that truly matters. Why is he the way? I want to be on the Jesus journey. Because I want to be about Jesus' truth. And I want to live Jesus' life. And it's the only way. The destination is the Father. And the only way to get to the Father is if I'm on the Jesus journey.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Remember the story of Abraham. God says, I want you to leave and I want you to go to a place that I'll show you later. This always cracks me up. Can you imagine the conversation with Sarah? All right, pack your bags, we're going. Where? I don't know. Try that sometime with your wife or husband or whatever. Why was Abraham willing to do that without knowing the destination? Because he knew the journey was God.
That's right.
Do we have to understand everything about heaven? We need to be on the Jesus journey. The reason why this is so important, years ago when I was living in the Netherlands, and I went with some of the missionaries on this study with this group that were premillennialists, which simply means that they believed in a literal thousand-year reign. Whether you believe in that, it doesn't matter. The point is that this group, they were so focused on the destination and figuring out when and how it's all going to play together that they didn't know anything else about the Bible. I was there just as an observer, and then when the missionaries would take them to some other place that was not eschatological, was not about end of times, they wouldn't deal with that at all. They would say, oh, but let's go here. And they were so focused on the destination that they forgot to live now. See, Jesus said, you're not going to know. Right now, I want you to be awake. Live now. See, we need to be involved on the Jesus journey because that's how we learn what it means to be in the house of God. I don't know if you've ever been thrown into a situation where you have no clue what's going on.
Yeah.
How comfortable is that? That's not what God's doing with us. He's saying, I'm going to bring you to my home. And by the way, on some level, you're already in my presence, and you're already learning what it is like to be in my presence. You're learning the language. You're learning what's required. You're learning it all. You're on the Jesus journey. So when we get to heaven, it's not going to be this huge surprise and everything's going to be way whacked out and different. We will be continuing on the same journey we're on right now. I'm pretty sure that's what Jesus meant. I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life, and nobody comes to the Father but through me.
Praise God. Mm-hmm.
And if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, but from now on, you know him. Since I'm telling you that he and I are the same, you know me. That's how they knew the way. From now on, you know the Father and you have seen him.
Wow.
How do you know God exists? Have you ever been asked that question? How do you know?
Let me tell you about my Savior, Jesus Christ.
How do I know? Let me share some stories about Jesus with you. How do I know? Because in my attempts to follow Jesus, it's the only reason this world makes any sense at all. Man?
That's right.
Man. So how do we picture heaven? Streets of gold? I think that was a symbol, and I'm not sure it's about heaven anyway. See, to me, I don't care if up in heaven we're walking dirt roads. I don't care if it's just a homey little place that has a shared court. It doesn't matter. What matters is we are going to be connected. And if we're going to be connected in heaven, we ought to work at being connected right now.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Because that's the Jesus journey.
That's right.
And by the way, it takes work. Because some of us are weird. I'm not going to say anything about that. My wife is sitting there in shock and surprise. What? You're not going to comment? It takes work. But here's what I've discovered in my years. That if you don't do the work to stay connected to people that you don't agree with and you don't get along with necessarily at first, if you don't do the work, you end up remaining shallow. Kind of like my cousin who's jumped from one relationship to the next, to the next, to the next. And he's never grown up. And he doesn't know what it means to have a true relationship. People do the same thing with God's body. Well, I don't like this one. It's too small. I don't like this one. It's too hard. I don't like this one. It's on fire too much. I wonder if we just said, you know what? God is here. This one's just right. I can't wait until Jesus comes and get us. I can't wait to sit at the banquet table of my Father with all of you. I can't wait until we're playing games. I can't wait until we're working together on a more in-depth level than we already are. I'm not going to appreciate that if I'm not doing all of those things right now. Do you feel connected? I pray that you do. And if you don't, you might want to sit back and ask yourselves, is that everybody else's fault?
That's what we tend to think, right? Everybody else in the world disagrees with me. They're all crazy. It might just be me. The reason why I don't feel connected may just be because I don't want to. It's too much work. I'd rather build my own little mansion far removed from everybody else and show up on a Sunday morning and feel good about it for an hour. And if that hits too close to home, praise God. Amen. We are on the Jesus journey together. Yeah. You are all my brothers and sisters in Christ. When we get to heaven, and if somebody is there that we thought, I'm not sure about that person, I don't think we're gonna go to God and say, what were you thinking, God? I think we're just gonna say, praise God.
Amen.
So let's do that a little bit now. Let's work together, play together, enjoy life together. Cry and laugh and be together and be connected so that when we go to heaven, we will continue what we've been working on here. Praise God.
Sounds good to me.
If there's anyone here this morning that needs prayers for any reason, I encourage you. None of us have this all right. We're all working on it. I think that's why God intended for us to be doing this together. If you need prayers, we would love to pray with you as fellow strugglers in the journey.
Amen.
Not as experts looking down and saying, oh my goodness, why can't you get your act together? Because none of us can. If you want to know more about our God and how much, yes, we're almost there, so close, how much He longs for us to be connected and to draw closer to Him and eventually just to be drawn home with Him. We'd love to talk to you about God.